and in condemnation of the Israeli atrocities. Welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Muse. Thanks for joining us.
Day 38 of the Israeli war on Gaza, where relentless airstrikes continue to hit civilian areas, including houses, schools, and even hospitals. The latest Israeli air attacks took the lives of 32 Palestinians. The strikes hit two homes, one in the southern city of Khan Yunis, the other in the Jabalia refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip. Also in the north, a UN-run school was struck in the city of Beit Lahia. The Israeli regime also bombed several hospitals where people had taken shelter. Palestinians say that the regime is targeting everywhere in the blockaded territory.
I fled from one hospital to another. I thought hospitals were safe, but nowhere is safe. We are staying on the street. There is no shelter for me and my children to sleep at night. I thought hospitals were safe, but they are not. Hospitals are being bombed.
We have been displaced to this school as a safe place, according to the Israeli army commands. But unfortunately, even at UNRWA shelters, we can't find safety after retreating from northern Gaza Strip.
The total death toll in Gaza has passed 11,100, over 8,000 are women and children. Hundreds of people are also missing under the rubble of bombed-out buildings. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime is pressing ahead with its ground operation as well. Heavy fighting has been reported around Gaza City. The Quds Brigades of the Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement says that they have targeted Israeli troops and vehicles south of the city. The regime says 18 of its soldiers have been killed in the ground invasion that began 2 weeks ago. Nothing is probably more synonymous with war crimes than targeting hospitals and killing war-stricken people taking shelter there. And that's what's happening in the Gaza Strip, where the healthcare system is deteriorating rapidly, with more and more hospitals becoming dysfunctional. The Israeli military has encircled Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City while bombing it repeatedly over the past several days. According to reports, Israeli snipers continue to fire at anyone near the medical facility. The World Health Organization has described the situation of the hospital as dire and perilous. The hospital's last generator has also run out of fuel, which has led to the death of 5 premature babies and 7 critical patients. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas denies claims that it refused the Israeli fuel offer to Al-Shifa Hospital. The director of the medical facility also called the Israeli claim a propaganda stunt. Palestinian officials say all hospitals in the north of the Gaza Strip are out of service. There seems to be no let-up in the Israeli regime's relentless strikes on civilians in the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, hospitals and medical centers remain the prime targets of Israeli attacks, with the situation on the ground getting extremely desperate.
With the Israeli strikes continuing for the 36th straight day, over 5,000 wounded and more than 2,400 martyrs have been taken to Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital so far. Most of them were children, women, and the elderly. But this is the only hospital in central Gaza and cannot admit many wounded people. At the moment, the hospital is overstretched and there is no room for more injured patients. Currently, the wounded are accommodated outside in the yard of the hospital. Moreover, the hospital is facing a shortage of medical equipment and fuel. We are facing a crisis. The health system has been shattered and medical staff keep working in all hospitals under harrowing conditions. Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza is besieged by the occupying forces and our medical personnel are not able to leave or enter the premise. Patients cannot be transferred to this hospital either, and martyrs are buried in mass graves. As the hospital is under siege, it has got out of control and is gradually becoming unable to offer any services. If the siege continues, all the wounded in this hospital will turn into lifeless bodies. The infants' ward, in particular, is facing a shortage of medicines and special formula used to feed premature babies. At the moment, at least 21 hospitals and over 4 dozen medical centers are no longer able to offer services. services. We are facing a catastrophe at hospitals in the Gaza Strip, and our medical staff are discharging their responsibilities without having any security, so much so that over 200 medical personnel have been murdered and over 400 wounded. Our fuel is running out, and if this happens, our generators will shut down and all hospitals will turn into mass graves for patients.
Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has launched retaliatory strikes from southern Lebanon against Israeli forces amid escalating tensions in the border areas. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh joined us earlier to give us more details about the development.
We had several rockets fired from South Lebanon into the western side of the Galilee. The Israelis said that they hit, one of them hit a football field. Others, it's not clear whether they hit targets. Now, these rockets have been claimed by Al-Qassam brigades, mostly Hezbollah. Usually when they launch these sorts of Katyusha rockets, they usually, of course, claim responsibility, and they do say that they have targeted, but usually they do so when they are hitting specific targets in the kibbutz that are facing the Lebanese southern border. We also had Israeli shelling, which continues since last night, early this morning, against the towns of Labune, Shehin, and Jabain. And also earlier, they targeted Aita Shop, and these are all bordering villages. And so basically, this is the latest development concerning the exchange of fire.
Protesters have gathered near South Korea's defense ministry in a demonstration against closer security and military ties between South Korea, the U.S., and Japan. The demonstration comes as the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with his South Korean counterpart, Shin Won-sik, to discuss regional security issues. For more on this, we are joined by Jennifer Chang, our correspondent from Seoul. Jennifer, over to you.
These protesters are very angry at the way the Yoon Suk-yeol administration has taken such a hardline stance against North Korea, jeopardizing peace here on the Korean Peninsula, as you said. And also, they are very upset at the economic conditions in this country, which are extremely poor right now. There's no sign of an imminent recovery, and stocks are plunging, and the Israel-Hamas war is making things worse. They are upset about the way the Yoon Suk-yeol government is giving blanket approval to the U.S. for the Israel-Hamas war, and they are also upset about labor relations. The government here of Yoon Suk-yeol, the conservative president, is something they would like to see ousted, and they are calling for President Yoon Suk-yeol's resignation because he's threatening to veto a bill governing labor relations that would be reformed by the main opposition party, which controls the National Assembly, which is the parliament. They just passed that bill called the Yellow Envelope Bill, which lets the workers protect themselves against corporations that want to collect damages in legitimate labor union strikes. So this is really upsetting them, and they are joined by a network of civic groups. These two umbrella unions, which are the biggest umbrella unions in South Korea, they held a rally on Saturday of over 100,000 protesters. And today we have hundreds gathered here again. They are going to never stop protesting until President Yoon Suk-yeol either does not veto the bill and lets it pass or resigns. And a lying-in is being held now starting today by a civic group representing South Korea's three biggest religious groups, Buddhism, Protestantism, and Catholicism. They say that they are going to sleep outside this building where this rally is being held until the bill passes.
All right, thank you so much for that. From Seoul, Jennifer Chang, a correspondent. Thank you. Moving on, Iran has once again condemned what it called the atrocity of Israel against hospitals in the Gaza Strip, saying that the world must rein in the regime. The foreign ministry spokesman said that in his weekly presser, reaction to the bombing of Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, and the siege of the facility. Nasser Kanani said Western supporters of Israel are responsible for the heinous catastrophe in the Gaza Strip. The spokesman said such countries like the U.S., Britain, and France should stop their unconditional support for the regime and stop preventing the U.N. Security Council from fulfilling its duty to establish peace and security. Kanani called for an end to the Israeli aggression, lifting of the siege on hospitals, sending humanitarian aid, and confronting coercive measures to displace Palestinians. Kanani stressed that Tehran will continue to support Palestinians on all fronts. Iran is commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of late Brigadier General Hassan Tehrani Moqaddam, who is dubbed the father of Iran's missile program. Senior military and state officials attended a ceremony in the capital, Tehran, to honor the late general's achievements. Tehrani Moqaddam was an engineer by profession. He kick-started the development of Iran's ballistic missile program during the war of the 1980s against Iraq under his former dictator Saddam. The general designed such medium and long-range missiles like Shahab, Qadr, and Sajil. He lost his life in an explosion that took place during a missile test in Tehran in November 2011. People around the world continue to hit the streets to show solidarity with the Palestinians and to demand an end to the Israeli bloodshed in the Gaza Strip.
Palestine will never die! Palestine will never die!
Hundreds of people attended a rally in Australia's biggest city of Sydney. They denounced Israeli actions in Gaza, waved Palestinian flags, and chanted slogans such as Palestine will never die. Spaniards packed an underground station in Barcelona, demanding Israel halt its military action in the Palestinian territory. In Ireland's capital, Dublin, protesters urged their government to expel the Israeli ambassador. South Africans held a new rally in Cape Town. They also demanded the expulsion of Israel's envoy and the closure of its embassy. Similar rallies were also held in the capitals of France, Germany, Belgium, and Britain, where people condemned Israel's brutal attacks on Gaza. In London, over 300,000 people marched toward the U.S. Embassy, calling for an end to the war on Gaza. The U.S. has carried out two airstrikes in eastern Syria, following an uptick of attacks on American military bases in the West Asia region. The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the military targeted a training facility and a safe house near the eastern cities of Abu Kamal and Mayadin. Austin also says the move was in response to recent attacks on American forces in Syria and in Iraq. The U.S. has carried out three such strikes in over 2 weeks. There's been a wave of drone and rocket attacks against U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria following the outbreak of the war in Gaza. An Iraqi resistance group has claimed responsibility for several of the incidents. The U.S. faces worldwide criticism for supporting the Israeli bloodshed against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. A senior member of Palestine's Hamas resistance movement has described as deplorable the Israeli attacks on hospitals in Gaza. Osama Hamdan has said that Hamas will pay, in his words, the Nazi leaders of the occupying regime back for that crime. Hamdan criticized the international community for doing nothing in response to Israel's airstrike on Al Ahli Arab Hospital last month. He said the failure to try Israel over that crime emboldened the regime to target more hospitals and to commit further bloodshed. The Hamas official said Israel continues to kill Palestinians to make up for the defeat that it faced on October the 7th. Hamdan also rejected Israeli claims that Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, is a military target. He meanwhile called for more efforts by Arab countries to help stop the U.S.-backed war.
We expect our Arab and Muslim brothers to use all their strength from political and economic power to pressure Washington to stop the aggression against civilians and children immediately, which every day results in 400 more martyrs and about 1,000 more innocent children and women injured.
Fake news and false narrative continues to flood Indian social networks and news channels about the ongoing crises in Gaza. The war is even being used to stoke fear and misinformation about Muslims among Hindu-majority Indians by fringe elements. Munawar Zaman reports from New Delhi.
Soon after Israel's onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip, Indian news channels started debates about the war. The debate show, which has been going on since October 7, however, has led to more confusion among Indians, rather than enlightenment on the issue.
It's agenda of Western countries to spread false propaganda against Palestinians and Muslims in particular, and Israel is doing their job. Today's media is controlled by the West. It's all for political agendas. It's also to spread venom against Muslims and demonize them in public perception. News channels are spreading poison here. It's very unfortunate lies are being spread viciously, one-sided.
Since the war broke out in Gaza, social media accounts, many of which have Indian flag side by side with Israel's on their profile, have voiced their strong support for Israel while spreading anti-Palestine disinformation. On other note, analysts say the situation in Gaza has given a massive reach to social media accounts in India who are trying to flare anti-Muslim rhetoric and pro-Israel fervor ahead of general election due in mid-2024.
Some people are spreading hate news on the war. They just gain benefits on likes and shares only. Even they don't know about the war, and some people are have their agenda his political party issues and other things, so they are also spreading the same news on social media.
Observers say such online campaigns and false narratives on social networks are significantly boosting the Israeli narrative to South Asian audiences. They say if the trend remains unchecked, it could threaten India's communal harmony, as violence against Muslims and Islamophobia are already widespread, particularly ahead of elections.
Experts say Indian media has become a leading proponent of spreading fake news and false narrative about ongoing Israeli war on Gaza. It wasn't a surprise to many when Indian media labeled Palestinian operation against Israeli occupation a terrorist attack. Most of the Indian media tend to run notorious broadcasts to garner viewership as much they can, raising a big question about what journalism has become in today's India. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Economic divide.
The Israeli war in Gaza has continued unabated, with Palestinian body count increasing by the day. A genocidal massacre taking place in front of the eyes of the world. But Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are not the only ones that are being damaged by this. The Israeli economy is also getting decimated, while the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu blindly orders the Israeli regime to murder Palestinians. Hi, I'm Kaveh Tafwai. Welcome to Economic Divide. Coming up in today's program, Israel's economy, minus 11% GDP drop as a result of the war. Cannot sustain a long war is what has been analyzed on that. Will the U.S. come to the rescue in the form of a bailout? Only time will tell. Then, the forced displacement of Palestinians. Israel has plans to uproot them to either Egypt or Jordan or both. Forced displacement, mind you, is against international law. Will the U.S. go ahead with those plans along with Israel? And then we will take a look at what West Asian countries can do when it comes to this war. to stop trade with Israel, boycott Israel, in essence, and Israeli products. Iran has proposed to stop oil exports to Israel.
Israel's aggression on the Gaza Strip has devastated the coastal enclave, killing thousands of Palestinians. The war has also taken a heavy toll on the regime's economy. According to a report by JP Morgan Chase, Israel's economy may shrink 11% on an annualized basis in the last 3 months of the year. The Israeli finance minister has said that the regime's 2023-24 budget is no longer relevant given the Gaza war and would be amended. Smotrich has put the direct cost of the war at around 1 billion shekels, or $246 million a day, to Israel. There are reports that the current war has had a much larger impact on the so-called domestic security and confidence. Israel's local currency, the shekel, has reached a 14-year low, while the benchmark stock index is down about 10% this year. The tech industry, the engine of Israel's economic growth, started bleeding even before the war began. The central bank has earmarked $30 billion to shore up the shekel, but that figure may rise as the war drags on. Some analysts believe the U.S. may come to rescue Israel's economy if the crisis deteriorates.
Time to see what's happening online when it comes to the Israeli war on Gaza. First up, we take a look at Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, now known as X. It says U.S.-based @ the CCR warns of Israel's unfolding crime of genocide of the Palestinians. The hashtag BDS movement calls on states and institutions to divest from Israel and all companies complicit in the crimes. What are you waiting for, it asks. Next up, a website says risk of a wider Middle East war threatens a fragile world economy. After shocks from the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there's little cushion if the fighting between Hamas and Israel becomes a regional conflict. Then, top Israeli economist says a recession is almost certain as leaders warn of a long war. A recession is almost guaranteed. This according to a top Israeli economist and its prediction. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned of a long war with Hamas, spacing it on that, it appears. Then Israel-Hamas war could lead to economic chaos for countries like Egypt, Lebanon, and Jordan, and even cause governments to collapse, based on experts' warning. Each of the three countries is up against differing economic pressures that led the International Monetary Fund to warn in a September report that they could lose their socio-political stability. Now, that warning came shortly before the operation that Hamas executed by the name of Al-Aqsa Flood. This obviously could trigger a war that could easily cause economic chaos that President Joe Biden and the European Union would likely need to address. Well, it's not much of an address so far. They can't even call for a ceasefire and make that happen. And finally, Israel-Hamas conflict may cost the global economy $2 trillion. Ernst & Young has said that. The company's chief economist is warning of severe consequences if hostilities escalate. All right, those are some of the online posts that we picked. By the way, we don't call Russia invading Ukraine, just one of the things there. And also, we don't call the way that this particular entry that we read in terms of Hamas, that it was an actual war that it waged. It was an execution of a plan based on the type of siege and occupation that Israel has had on the Gaza Strip. All right, let's introduce our guest for our first segment of the Q&A. We have a special guest, in a sense, a former chief spokesperson of UNRWA, Chris Gunness, who joins us. Chris Gunness, welcome to Economic Divide. I'm tempted to ask you a real economic question here, but I fear in your capacity as a former chief spokesperson of UNRWA, perhaps it's best to speak broadly in terms of the economic terms. I mean, Israel's economy obviously is taking a beating because of this war, and it cannot sustain this war based on many accounts, especially the Prime Minister Netanyahu saying that it's going to be long and drawn out. What do you think about the way that Israel is going to be able to come out of this or not, based on the way things are proceeding right now?
Can I begin by saying that wars are bad for economies, full stop? When governments start spending money on wars, they have less money for people, and that is why that everything must be done to avoid this. spilling out and becoming a wider war, because it will impoverish everybody in the region, not just Israelis, not just Palestinians. But yes, to answer your question, it seems clear that the Americans and others who support Israel, but particularly the Americans, have given Israel pretty much a green light. There have been calls for respect for international humanitarian law, but essentially Israel has been given a green light to destroy Hamas, in the words of the Israeli Prime Minister. Now, we can have a conversation about whether that's possible. I think it's very difficult. But there's no doubt that American economic aid to Israel will continue. I think that if America had to choose between supporting Ukraine and supporting Israel in terms of financing the war effort, I think they would choose Israel. And I think that it would be foolish for anyone to assume that because the war is expensive and it's costing hundreds of millions every day, it would be foolish to assume that the war somehow is going to grind to a halt because Israel is finding it too expensive. I think that the money will be found from Israel's allies, particularly the United States.
All right, thank you very much for that. And it's too bad that Israel doesn't think of spending this money, let's say, for the Palestinians, in an effort to at least try to, well, forget it. I'm not going to get into that conversation right now. It's too long and drawn out. Let's go to our second guest here. We have John Phoenix joining us. John Phoenix is founder of Shoah.org.uk. John Phoenix, welcome to the program. All right, let's see what we got over here. You have Israel that is based on several accounts and news outlets that it wants to forcibly displace Palestinians from the Gaza Strip, basically to put them like objects into Egypt from the Gaza Strip and then from the occupied territories to Jordan. Some news outlets are saying that. Now, aside from the fact that forcible displacement is obviously against international law, doesn't this risk inflaming the region? Already the pushback is there from Persian Gulf Arab countries.
Well, look, this is not a new project. This is project actually is a plan by Professor Yunnan. The plan was actually published in 1980. The Yunnan titled his research of the Israeli policy in the 80s. One of the plans to remove the Palestinians, you know, especially Gaza. I mean, 1950, the American Secretary of State Rogers actually offered Egypt to transfer the local population in Gaza to Sinai, and was rejected by the Palestinians.
Time now for the InfoNews section of the program. First up, we're going to take a look at how ties are going between China and Colombia. There's been a development there. China is wooing a close U.S. partner, and as a result, it's working. Now, this entry said Colombia has upgraded its ties with Beijing. That's a new sign that Latin America is just basically tired of Washington gatekeeping its development. Furthermore, it has said China has established over 100 strategic partnerships in the world since the end of the Cold War. So that shows the track, diplomatic one, that China is on. Next up, de-dollarization is still in motion. In this case, in point, we are looking at Thailand, whose central bank has proposed dropping dollars in its trade. The regulator has called for the use of local currencies to mitigate the U.S. currency's volatility. Then this entry was very important. It's about a company by the name of Maersk. It's a shipping company, and it has cut jobs. Basically, it cut 10,000 jobs, and the reason, well, logically, shipping demand has fallen. Now, this is one of the world's biggest shipping firms, and it's cutting 3,500 more jobs due to lower freight rates and also demand. And it had cut 6,500 roles earlier this year, which hence is why that 10,000 figure is what was mentioned earlier. Now, this is our take. When a large shipping firm cuts jobs, that means that the global economy has actually slowed, since there aren't as many products that need to be transported. And furthermore, 2023 growth is projected to be 2.7% by the year's end, and only 3% for the year 2024. This shows the trajectory that we're on. And if that is going to be the case, that's the slowest annual rate since the 2008 global recession. That kind of puts things into perspective. And then finally, we took a look at Americans and their spending capacity. In the U.S., higher interest rates are actually forcing Americans to cut back. They are feeling the pinch of high interest rates, naturally, and that has forced them to hold off purchases of things like homes, cars, and even groceries. Those were the items we picked for our section here by the name of Info News.
Health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
The war on Gaza by Israel continues to take lives. There's no doubt about Israel's bombing campaign. But why so severe that it's decimating the territory to near annihilation? Well, one of the hidden reasons behind this war may be about the Gaza Marine, the license boundary off the coast of the Gaza Strip, okay? It's gas fields of Palestine, of the Gaza Strip. That is the focus of our in-depth section. So let's get going. First, let's take a look at the different gas and oil fields that exist off the coast of Palestine. One is the Leviathan, one is the Tamar, Dalit, I'm sorry, not three, but four of them, and then the Mari B. Okay? The properties include 122 trillion cubic feet of gas that it contains. That's a lot. And the value is estimated to be about $524 billion. Now, the value of this particular area, which is the Mari B field, the proportion or the share for the Gaza Strip would be valued at around $10 billion. That's what value they have placed for it. But there's another interesting thing about this that needs to be put into perspective when there are values and costs that are taken into the calculation. Gas fields, even though they say that they have been explored, is not really that black and white. In terms of the annual income that this is going to give for Palestine and its economy, not bad, $700 to $800 million per year. That's definitely not bad, something that Palestine is not making. And then in terms of the income, the estimates that is given is $7 to $8 billion. This would happen over the course of 10 years. All right, so needless to say, this is something that would come in very handy for Palestine and its economy. That is, if Israel allows that to happen. Gas exploration contracts were given out, 12 licenses recently. These are the companies that were involved here. They were obviously for the purpose of exploring natural gas. Italian company Eni, the Korean subsidiary Dana Petroleum, the United Kingdom's British Petroleum BP, as well as Israel's Ratio, just some of the companies. Now, why is this interesting? Because the announcement date was October 30th of this year. Okay? The war broke out on the 7th. During a war, you have Israel making an announcement that 12 licenses were given out to these companies. And one of them, of course, is BP. Don't you find that to be interesting? Or is that a coincidence? By that, I mean, would that be a driving force, perhaps in some way, behind the way that the Gaza Strip is being annihilated in terms of what Israel is doing? All right, here's another point that's very interesting. Back in 2022, there was an MOU that was signed. Israel would export gas to Egypt and to the EU, okay? Now, that makes it interesting in terms of the EU part of it. Why? Because we all know what is happening when it comes to the extreme gas shortage that the EU has. So we do a fact check. You have energy that comes from Israel that's going to Egypt and then the EU. Keep in mind now, this is energy that is stolen from Palestinians with the help of the U.S. and the U.K., because that's Palestinian land of which those gas fields exist out there. And these land belongs to Palestinians, okay? So those are the type of things that needs to be taken into consideration when it comes to this whole thing regarding energy and gas, which Palestine needs to get its share. All right, let's bring back our guests and see what they think about this and more. We have Chris Gunness rejoining us. He's the former chief spokesperson for UNRWA. Chris Gunness, welcome back to Economic Divide. I'd like to actually go into the area of Arab countries in this region, which is something that they could have done in terms of a firmer stance when it came to Israel and the war that is waging. Aside from the political side of things, how about trade? I mean, they can stop doing trade with it, don't you think? And stand up and, behind their word that they will do something when it comes to Israel. Do you think that there's a will to do that?
I think the position of Arab nations in the region, it varies. I think that there are some who, under American pressure, may feel that they have to continue to sign up to peace with Israel, and there are some who are likely to take a more principled and hardline position. Just to be clear what's at stake, the basis of peace in the Middle East for a long time has been what's called land for peace. And it's the idea that's behind the Arab peace plan of 2002. And that's the idea that in return for peace with its Arab neighbors, Israel would have to give up Palestinian land, would have to give back the land it is occupying.
All right, let's now hear from John Phoenix. He's the founder of Shoah.org.uk, who rejoins us. John Phoenix, welcome back. You know, you take a look at what Israel is doing to the Gaza Strip. It's really shocking. But in order for this war to stop, which as a recording of this program is still going on, Arab countries have said they can do a lot more. Now, they haven't stepped in to prevent the continuation of this war, but maybe they can do things that can hurt Israel financially, such as trade, stop their trade, or maybe some kind of embargo on Israel. Do you think that there is a will from Arab nations to do that?
Well, we have to draw a line between the Arab nation or the Arab regimes. You know, the people of the Arab world, they all in support of the Palestinians. That is no question, you know. The pressure by the, so far now, with the nearly 30 days of killing, genocide of the Palestinians, their population now pressuring them to speak out. And that's why, if you notice, after nearly 28 days, the so-called Arab League decided to meet and discuss the matter. Not because they wanted really to discuss. I assume that even the Israelis discussed this before the attack in Gaza with the Arab puppet regimes. So the Arab regime will move and they will boycott. They will stop trading with the Zionist entity because of the street in the Middle East.
Apart from the ramification of the war for Israel's economy, there are now concerns that the crisis could have wider regional and even global implications in terms of economy and security. Oil has been particularly volatile amid concerns that an escalation could restrict a supply from the energy-rich region. Oil prices have surged after Israel said its troops were expanding their ground operation. If the conflict gets regional, oil prices could soar to $150 a barrel and global growth to drop to 1.7%, a recession that takes about $1 trillion off world output.
This may result in firms and households becoming less confident and more uncertain about the future and dampen growth further.
There are also reports that Israel is planning to make the Gaza Strip totally uninhabitable and for the residents there to flee to Egypt. Furthermore, Israel's constant raids in the West Bank is threatening to clean that region of Palestinians. The crisis there has deteriorated the economic situation even worse than before. The occupied West Bank was in a financial crisis well before the recent events as a result of Israel's occupation and heavy restrictions on movement. The UN estimated in 2019 that the Israeli occupation cost the Palestinian economy some $47.7 billion in fiscal revenues between the year 2000 and 2017.
Hello and welcome to the Quick Take section. I'm Matti Apossian. Israel's war on the Gaza Strip and the continuation of this war has had some collateral damage for the Israelis. The Israel-Turkey gas pipeline, which was suspended by Turkey for now, and the IMEC project, first the joint Israel-Turkey gas project. Turkey and Israel had plans to conduct joint energy drilling operations in the eastern Mediterranean to transport gas to Europe through Turkey. Israel is prioritizing gas exports to the European Union following Russia's loss of influence in the EU market. But now this project has fallen apart, postponed indefinitely. Why is Israel so keen on having gas exports to other countries anyways? The immediate answer is a natural one. Israel wants to generate income, even though Israel's claims to the gas and the fields themselves are still under dispute. But the other reason may not be that obvious, and it is about Israel's security. Now to the second project, which has been derailed to the Gaza war, and that is the IMEC, the India Middle East Europe Economic Corridor. At the sidelines of the G20 summit held in New Delhi in September 2023, an MOU was signed to develop a rail and shipping corridor. The US saw the IMEC project as a tool to normalize relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, but since the outbreak of the war and the genocidal war of Israel against Palestinians, Saudi Arabia announced that the normalization plans with Israel are now on hold. That does it for this section of the program. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thirty-one days of bombing Gaza, which is the day of the recording of this program. Israel has had to invest over $50 billion for this war. Its economic loss in terms of GDP, double digits, 11 to 12%. And it has lost major economic agreements, which we mentioned earlier. By the time it decides to stop this war, there may be nothing left of the Israeli economy to come back to. Has Israel calculated the economic impact that this war will have on its economy? Or will its big brother, the U.S., come and rescue it, as we mentioned in the program? That does it for this edition of the program. Thank you so much. By the way, we are only going to be covering the Israeli-Gaza war and the economic implications for the next few weeks until this war perhaps ends. So tell us what you think about that, because we figured this is an important event that's happening. Hope you enjoyed the program. From Mikhail Tahway and the entire team at The Economic Divide, it's goodbye.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to Arabi English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Arabi English Radio.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we're talking about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran, and we said Quran sees human being as an entity or as a being in a journey, and Quran has a plan for this journey to be directed towards perfection and not towards, may Allah forbid, imperfection or problematic situation. So parts of the necessary elements of this journey, one of them is the faith, the other is the righteous deeds, and we're talking about different motivations for the righteous deed. And we said, according to one general classification, one of them is referred to as the business or the deal that people make. And the other is out of the fear of the hellfire. And we said that these three levels, and the other was the motivation of the free man, those who consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be deserving of to be worshipped, and they do the righteous deed only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not out of the fear of the hellfire, or not with the greed or any plan for the paradise. And we said, all of these three groups are much, much better than those who don't believe in the Day of Judgment. And this is discussion among those who already have accepted and are remembering the Day of Judgment and the situation in which they're going to meet their Lord. So in the previous episode, we talked about verses of the Holy Quran that talk about different deals that people make. Some of them are good deals, some of them bad deals. And this episode, we inshallah talk about the context of fear. When fear becomes motivation for the righteous deed. In this verse, Quran says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. There are people, there are men, for whom business of the dunya doesn't distract them. Bay'a, deal of the dunya doesn't distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't mean they don't engage in business, they don't go to marketplace. No, they go, but it doesn't distract them. As they are in the marketplace, as they are walking in bazaar, they still are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, doesn't distract them from iqam as-salat, from maintaining prayer. At the time of the prayer, they pray. So Quran doesn't say there is inherent contradiction between the two. No, it says you can do that and you should do that, but you should know that it should not distract you from your duties toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا. They are having their life, and it's very good and stable, but they know that there comes a day that this all stability turns into instability. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهَ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. All the hearts and all the eyes will change, upside down, inverted, and everything will be completely changed. Changed meaning here that from our perspective they will change. In reality, this is truth that is unveiled before us. تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. On that day, we see things in a real way, not in a superficial, materialistic way. تَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ means this, that the means by which they understood the world, which is our hearts and our senses, on that day, the means through which we understand reality, they change. Now we can see reality as it is, not with the superficial material facade that it has. So it says, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا. So the reason that they do this, the reason that they are not distracted by, business of the dunya, is that they have the fear. They have the fear of the Day of Judgment. And this is important, that not just hell, but even Day of Judgment itself deserves to be feared. This is a very long day, very difficult situation in which all people will be gathered. And all the injustice that had been done throughout the history of mankind will be dealt with. Right? It's a very serious situation that even prophets and divine messengers will be taken to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be accountable and responsible, let alone other people. يَوْمَنَدْءُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ. We will have a break and we come back to talk a little bit about this verse that I already recited for you.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity. We were talking about the seriousness of the Day of Judgment and how people who understand this seriousness, graveness of the Day of Judgment, it's like it haunts them, and they cannot forget it. So, and it's good sometimes. It's good for us to remember that. Quran says, إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِسَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. When talking about divine prophets in Surah As-Sad, says, you know how we purified them? We purified them by the remembrance of the Day of Judgment. Remembrance of the Day of Judgment, if it is done correctly, it helps people to be purified. It helps people for their action to be purified. إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ. We purified them بِخَالِسَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. By the remembrance of the Day of Judgment. So, we said part of the seriousness of the Day of Judgment is that even great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are taken accountable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has serious conversation with them. In one verse it says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بَكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How will it be on that day? How would you feel? It can be read in different ways. How will it be, or how would you feel on that day that we bring you as a witness? We bring witnesses from among all nations, and we bring you as a witness over them. So this them could refer to the nation of the Prophet or to the witnesses of other nations. So it's a very serious situation. There's a hadith that when the Prophet, this was recited in the presence of the Prophet, he somehow passed out, yeah, because of the heaviness of this, or started crying loudly because he just imagined the seriousness of the situation. Or also there's a case that Quran tells us about the serious conversation of Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah seriously asked him, أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَيْنِ. Did you tell people to worship you as gods and deities, and your mother as deities? And then Prophet Isa alayhi salam comes with a clear response that no, as you were witness over the situation, I never told them this. So you see, the remembrance of the Day of Judgment is very serious. And those people people like us who have forgotten this, the difference that is there between divine prophets and normal people is that divine prophets are constantly remembering that day. And they use that to purify their action, to purify their intentions, the remembrance of the Day of Judgment. And it's like, you know, sometimes the graveness of a situation, kids cannot understand. Like, for example, imagine like they say there will be an earthquake. And all the grown-ups are running here, there, and they get prepared for that moment. But the kids, no, because they don't have a clear image of what is going on to happen. It's like that. In this dunya, some of us are like kids. We have not yet understood the graveness and seriousness of that thing. But those who have understood it, they take it seriously in order to get prepared for that. Inshallah, in the following episode, we talk about other verses that relate to this fear and also relates to other motivations for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much for listening. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you, you of my roots. Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Sit some of thee inside my aching heart, some of thee inside our land. Our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots we hear. This land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
9 in sight to the deadly Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. The regime pounds civilian targets, including schools and hospitals. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement launches retaliatory strikes from southern Lebanon against Israeli forces amid escalating tensions in the border areas. And worldwide rallies are held around the globe in solidarity with Palestine.